Government figures show that the three provinces in the northeast part of China have lost more than 1 million people in the last 10 years, many of whom are high earners and well-educated, seeking better jobs and lifestyles elsewhere. Does it mean that the northeast part of China is facing a severe brain drain? Guys, first of all, tell me more about what's going on, as this is a phenomenon that we have discussed before, but there's ongoing development with the population and demographic change in the northeast part of China.
Yes, this problem has been going on for quite some time, but honestly, it's not as severe as people make it out to be. According to figures from the National Development and Reform Commission, more than 1 million people did indeed leave China's northeastern part in the last 10 years. However, the misconception is that in the last 10 years, every year, 1 million people left that part of China. So obviously, somebody needed to come out and correct that. And that is exactly why we are reading this piece of news at this particular time, because somebody from the National Development and Reform Commission has decided that the rumors have to stop, because this is just crazy. At the rate it's going, probably more outrageous numbers will come out soon. So anyway, it's good to know that the 1 million figure is actually for the past 10 years. That being said, 1 million people is still a big number. So why are so many people leaving northeastern part of China? I think one of the major reasons, at least cited by official sources, is that the northeastern part of China is doing badly when it comes to economic performance. For example, Jilin province, the GDP growth rate in the first two quarters of this year was 6.7%. That's just an okay number. And for Heilongjiang province, that's 5.7%. And for Liaoning province, that's actually below zero. And of course, with the first two numbers, 6.7% and 5.7%, a lot of people are saying that those numbers are fake. So we don't know for sure, but at least we can know for sure that Liaoning is doing very, very badly. So I think that's enough of a reason for a lot of people to decide to leave.
I was just, as you were going through those figures just then, something crossed my mind, because of course the gentleman who has been quoting the figures works for the Department of Northeastern Revitalization. So there has been a program. They know that the old industries, they know that the old the coal mines and the steel industry, etc., have been declining. They have declined all over the place in many countries, and over the last 10 years, I guess, they've been trying to find ways of finding new jobs for people who are in those areas. So there will be quite a lot of people who have moved in to the area. So when we're talking about a million, are they looking at the net loss?
Yeah.
Is this a 1 million people net loss? So there may be more than a million people who have left in the last 10 years, but millions may have come back to the area to work in some of these new industries. So it's a very difficult thing to try and work out. You know, obviously it's a huge problem. If I'm in two minds about whether this is a problem, so you can quiz me on that a bit later on if you want.
I will.
It's a big problem, but you know, how big is the problem? And I guess they have proper figures. I guess they know what they're talking about.
Yes, and I think that is a very shrewd observation from Bob. I did manage to sneak in a couple of adjectives there. Very pleased with that.
Yeah, I felt nervous when you were using those adjectives.
Yes,
but that's fine.
I saw your fingers trembling.
Yeah, the blood draining from my face, that kind of thing, yeah.
But for sure, I think I do agree with you that we need to look at net loss to really understand the situation. And here, although we don't have concrete figures, but the reports that have been surrounding us these days all seem to point at the direction that it's difficult to keep homegrown talent and residents, really. And then it's also not really seeing the attractiveness to lure people, outsiders, to these places. So I think this situation that is a bit of a brain drain, as some people say, sums it up pretty well, that these days in the three provinces in northeast part of China are seeing that there's more people going, more people leaving, and less people wanting to come and settle down. So here we need to talk about what's driving this situation into being. What's the problem that the locals see that they want to leave?
Well, for starters, I just mentioned that these three provinces are doing quite badly economically. So if you want to live a nice life where you can spend quite a big amount of money to fulfill your needs, for example, go to the movie theaters every day or go see exhibitions every day. If you don't earn much money, then you certainly cannot afford that kind of lifestyle. So what's your choice? You go somewhere else. So that's a very obvious reason. But I think the main reason is that the structure, especially when it comes to the economic structure in those three provinces, is pretty much still the same. And people still rely on steel, you know, like heavy industry, that kind of thing. And nowadays, a lot of people, if you ask them what they really want to do, they always say that the ideal job is that they can use their talent. They can use something that has a lot to do with their creativity. They don't want to do manual labor. So I think if you are one of those people, then you certainly don't find these three provinces that alluring.
And I think there is a huge parallel to use an example from when I was growing up, because I grew up in the industrial heartland of Wales. So we had the steel industry and we had the coal industry. And probably within the space of about 5 years, I think, once Margaret Thatcher came into power, it was virtually all gone. And these were major employers. They were employing hundreds of thousands of people in that area. And then suddenly, there is no industry. There was restructuring, perhaps, to begin with, but that didn't actually work. And then the jobs were actually lost. So you're talking about industries which used to employ a huge number of people, suddenly gone. And then there's nothing left behind for them to do. And it's very difficult. If you've got somebody who's been a steel worker or a coal miner all their lives, then to turn to them and say, oh, well, I tell you what, we're going to help you work in a shop, or we're going to help you work in a high-tech chip manufacturer or something. It's just not possible. So sometimes the people who are losing their jobs are not the kind of people who would actually work with the kind of jobs which they're trying to bring in to the area to make the whole area more attractive and to keep people there. All my ancestors came from the countryside, and they moved for the Industrial Revolution into the cities. It didn't cross their minds there was anything wrong with that, to travel maybe 200, 300, 400, 500 miles for work. Where I think we've perhaps forgotten is that if the reason for those industries is gone, why stay? And I know there are, you know, huge impracticalities about trying to move thousands of millions of people from one place to another. But that essentially is what happened, I guess, 200 years ago, 150 years ago. But we seem to have forgotten that. So that's why I sort of think this isn't a problem. It's a problem for people who are trying to live a different kind of lifestyle. It's a problem for the people who are trying to keep the talents in the area. But is it necessarily a long-term problem, or is this just one of these structural things that we have to cope with?
That's really interesting, and we'll talk about the structural problems in a second. But it really got me thinking, Bob, what you said about, you know, moving millions of people into the city. That was back then industrial revolution, a completely different revolution in nature. So that brought loads of people into the city. Is that what you said?
Yes. I mean, had to, really, because the structure of society had changed and they had to go where the work was. So they came out of the land, they stopped being farmers, and they went to the factories in the cities.
Yes, and here comes the pickle of the problem here. That is, with the local people who lived in the three provinces of northeast part of China, often these people were steel workers, factory workers that worked in heavy industry and in state-owned enterprises or worked for the government. And that's mostly, I think, those who worked in the manufacturing industry. They lost their jobs due to restructuring, due to national policy shifts in the 1990s when there was an upgrade.
And that was inevitable.
And that's inevitable, but these people
take that away because things had to change. We have to accept that. But the world economy wasn't the same anymore.
Exactly, but that's really problematic because these people are already in the cities. They're enjoying the fruits of Industrial Revolution already, but when that's been taken away from them, where do people go? Do they go out of space? That's not happening. So I think that is the people and millions of people that sort of got caught in the middle in the late 1990s when the heavy industry got restructured. And now, decades later, I think we're still seeing the repercussion of it when the older folks, I think a lot of them sort of lost their voice in the last couple of decades because, like those factory workers that retired early and they struggle to find whatever is out there for them, and they try to make a living. But you don't hear that much from these guys anymore. And now, who are the people we're talking about in this exodus? I think it's important to try to figure out who are these people.
So you're saying it's possible that part of the exodus is actually those older people who just find that this is not the place for me because I don't have anything going on?
I think it may be more that the people who are moving can move. That they have the skills, they have the social mobility, maybe to go somewhere else. I think there will be a certain amount of people who, you know, there is nothing left for them in this area at all. There are no jobs. If they may not have any money, so they're not going to have the lifestyle, as you mentioned, to carry on living there. But this brain drain. These are all the people, the highly skilled people, the managers, senior managers, people who ought to be staying because they're the ones who will get this area out of trouble because they will start new businesses and they will start enterprises, come up with innovation, new ways of working. So in a sense, it's almost like the people with ideas and the people with the know-how to create whatever the next step is in that area, they are the ones who are saying, fine, I want to go to Shenzhen instead because it's much more exciting and, you know, it's very high tech.
Yes, I think to answer what Liu Yan's question earlier, and also I think Bob, you helped me out with that one, that is, I think those who can leave, who can find something better, they will leave. That's just simple human nature. Who doesn't want the best for yourself and your family? And if you have the skill and knowledge and means to do so, that's what you will do. And that's the part that I think, to some extent, that our government and also just the public in general sometimes tend to forget, because it's so easy to slip into the very old-fashioned way of looking at jobs in the Chinese economy that you used to be tied to one place. And if you can stay in the home area or the region, and why not? But here I think we're seeing that when home loses attractiveness, and who are going to leave? I think there's at least two groups of people, and that is the difficult situation or the crux of the demographic crisis that the three provinces in northeast part of China is experiencing right now. That is, I think the first group is maybe the children of those older folks that Liu Yan were talking about, of they used to work in factories and lost their jobs in the 1990s, and their children grew up. And
they figure that I want something else.
I need
I don't
to
want
go
to repeat
somewhere
their life.
And not here. And then there's also the other group that is what's been in the headlines recently, that is the executives, the highly skilled workers, those who are really the power, the future of a company, these talents, and they leave. So I think at least these two groups are doing this, and I just like to redirect the attention a little bit back to the fathers and mothers of those younger people that I feel, in the midst of this whole migration of people, they have been the ones that probably got stuck there and don't really have much of a voice, and they sort of just got ignored to some extent, and
they exist. And I think we hear a lot in the news about left behind children, and perhaps don't hear enough about left behind older people who what is left. For example, if there were lots of people where I grew up who lost their jobs in their late 30s and 40s, it wasn't possible for them to get other jobs, so they probably turned to benefits for a certain amount of time. Well, actually they only had about 15-20 years of their working life left, so they couldn't retrain. They couldn't go on to do anything else. So I think that, I think it's a really difficult one to do, because what do you do? We're all going to be living longer anyway. And so you potentially have a large body of people in the Northeast who are going to live longer, have less money to spend. So the pressure is actually to moving away from what I understand the government wants to do, which is that the whole moderately prosperous society. There needs to be more efforts, I think, to recognize that, well, actually a bit more work needs to be done here to help these people reach the level of lifestyle which is expected across the whole of the country.
Mm-hmm. And also, on top of everything we just discussed, there's this trend, which is the low birth rate trend in northeastern part of China. And according to some figures we got here, the latest national census shows that the birth rate of the region is roughly at about 0.75. That's far below the average level of 1.18 for the entire nation of China. So when everything is already going tough, and then you have such a low birth rate, which means not enough people are being born, so of course it just adds fuel to the fire.
Yeah, for sure. And it also, I think in a different way, shows that the people who are at the age of having babies, and also they are probably at their prime in terms of working the abilities, they're simply not living
there.
In these provinces.
I was going to ask, because the figures that we mentioned right at the beginning of the program, I guess, were about people who had decided to go altogether and weren't going to come back. But we don't have any figures for migrant workers from this area. So you're entirely right. There might be a huge number of people who of the family rearing age, which sounds a bit mechanical,
yes.
But they are the ones who are just not there. They've moved to the cities for work and having different kinds of lifestyles, maybe.
Although you cannot really blame them, because in Chinese we have the saying, 人往高处走,水往低处流. So if you are one of those people who originally were living there, and you saw that the economic situation was so bleak, and you know all the good jobs are not in this particular place, of course I want to go somewhere else. So I think the important thing here is for the government to figure out a way to lure more people back to this region. So what innovative ways can you think of so that people are willing, are voluntarily staying here instead of going elsewhere to find a better life?
But I would also say that why stay? Because I think if you're looking back at history, then there have been huge population movements all the way through history. If, for example, the only reason for people to be in a place was because there was coal, but in fact there is nothing else, the weather is inhospitable, it's a horrible place to live. But the main reason was because there was enough coal to build a coal community there. Take away the coal community, and you really do have to look at the balance sheet. You have to say, why are we still here? Why are we still in this area? Is there enough for people to do? And then think rationally, well, maybe we should be encouraging people to move to areas where there are different resources or different places where they can earn their livelihoods. It may sound a bit, it's almost impossible, I know that, because you're talking about millions and millions of people.
But I think what you've said, it makes a lot of sense in terms of maybe the micro side of things. I think for every individual, of course you strive for the best for you. And yes, if this is not the place that you can raise a family, then maybe this is not what you want. And also, Liu Yan, you mentioned earlier about if you want to go see an exhibition and you don't have money, how do you go see it? But there probably aren't that many exhibitions in these provinces anyway, because when the economic climate is like this, and also the atmosphere is very much different from some of the more vibrant cities,
metropolitans,
then it's not available for you. So how do you keep these people? So that is going to be... So I am supporting those who want to leave in that sense, but from a macro side of things, of looking at this issue, then of course the government, national and local, are going to be looking at new drive engines to revitalize this huge region that used to be a part of China that generated a lot of growth, but now the exact opposite seems to be happening. So guys, aside from economic restructuring, what else do you think needs to happen here?
Well, maybe I think we can start promoting two-child policy, because just now we mentioned that the low birth rate is also adding fuel to the fire. So to correct that problem, I think more people need to know that two-child policy is a choice, and it's also one of the preferred choices, at least from the government's point of view.
Yes, for sure. And also, I think maybe from the national level, there could be some stimulative policies that should be targeting this area. As, yes, we see that the traditional heavy industry is gone, or they're not as strong anymore, and then there needs to be maybe new economic zones, or, you know, these policies that the government can be totally behind and pushing for a better future for these places.
But I think they need to do it soon, because if you look at something like Detroit, where suddenly everything was gone and you've ended up with almost like a ghost city, there's nothing there anymore. So what do? You need to do something soon.
Yes, and for these old industrial bases to revitalize, the Rust Belt to revitalize, we see that all over the globe. We see it in the U.S., as I think Trump has energized very much his voters as he's won the election this time.